All right, friends, Happy New Year. How's 2021 so far? Pretty good? I'll tell you, I hope this year lives up to its hype. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we have been excited about this year for a long time. This is like the LeBron James of years. I mean, and I'm just hoping it lives up to it. So whatever you've been doing the last 3 days, I hope that 2021 is off to a good start. And I am just hopeful and prayerful for what we're going to see as a church, what we're going to see in our individual lives, what we're going to see as a nation, as a country, as a world, all that stuff over these next 362 or whatever days it is. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about what I'm hoping for this year, a little bit about what I know that a lot of you are hoping for this year. And I'm going to give you today just three verses to hold on to right at the beginning of this year, three verses out of Matthew 6 that we can just hold on to at the beginning of this year. And I'm going to put one more thing on your resolution list, okay? One more thing that I'm just going to really recommend that you add to that that resolution list. Before we do any of that stuff, we're going to take a minute, we're going to celebrate something. We have something pretty exciting to celebrate this morning. Some of you know about this. This will be new for some of you. When I started at this church as an intern in 2006, I walked in here, the room looked a lot different back then. And there were a few people that were really consistent presences then and that have really stayed involved with Cornerstone for a long, long time. And one of those is Carla Nivens. So Carla, if you want to come on up here, we're going to celebrate Carla in just a second. Carla, again, when I walked in 14 years ago, Carla was just like a powerhouse up here on this platform every week, just singing. And it wasn't just the voice, but it was the way in which she would lead. And Carla, just a minute ago, you know, other people are leading, and I look over there, and like, you're just worshiping there like you would right here. And that's just...
It's fun to be there.
Yeah, let's get that mic on.
It's fun to be there instead of up here.
It's not.
I enjoyed it.
It's fun to be there. So Carla, the reason we're celebrating Carla is Carla's moving into a new position at our church that we're really, really excited about. We've been dreaming for a while now. I don't know, really intentionally the last 12 or 18 months about how we can be a church that's really on the forefront of the work of racial reconciliation. And we actually started a class together, some of us in leadership. It was supposed to start in January. Then everything happened with the pandemic. It got pushed back. And we started it together just a few months ago. And we've been saying, how can we be a church that's on the front lines of racial reconciliation, but specifically in a uniquely Christian way, through the lens of our faith? And one of the things we've talked about in Cornerstone before is how being people who are seeking to reconcile with others that the world says we should be apart from, that's just a part of who we are. It's part of who the church is. We've been from day one. And I'm excited that Carla is going to be stepping into a new role as the Associate Director of Impact. What does that mean? Well, our impact area is our area that oversees our outreach work, our volunteer work, and with Carla stepping onto this team as of January 1st, 3 days on the job, this new racial justice initiative. So she'll be our Associate Director of Impact, focused on this racial justice initiative. Again, saying, how can we be a church that's really doing this work and doing it through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of our Christian faith? And she'll continue to be singing. She'll sing in here some. She'll be singing more over in the sanctuary also. But this new expanded role for Carla is one that that I'm really excited about. And I know that Carla is also. So Carla, you want to say a few words?
Yeah, thanks so much, Matt. And thanks for inviting me up to share this morning. And I know that when I meet with people one-on-one, because I try to meet with as many of you as I possibly could, just so that it wouldn't be a shock, because everybody's like, wait, what? What are you going to do? Well, it's not really a shock. It's not really a shock to me, because if you think about it, this is the work that we've been doing and kind of just doing it, you know, just doing it in ministry naturally. What I'll be doing in a nutshell is creatively building a framework so that we can all build relationships with people from various cultures, so that we can understand each other better and that we can enrich each other's lives as we all become deeply devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so we've been doing that, you know, over the years. The band has you know, welcomed in so many different races and cultures and ethnicities and genders. So you can, if you put, look at it through that lens, you can see that we've been doing this work, you know, all along. So I want to thank, number one, I want to thank the band. I want to thank the tech team. I want to thank the Cornerstone staff, because I am who I am because of all of them. And I appreciate the family that we've built. And it's not always easy for us to walk this road together because we all look at the world through different lenses. But what we've learned is that as we all surrender our lives to Christ, and as we all become committed to following him, that we can build bridges with people that we thought we didn't have anything in common with, and that we can build a life together and build a family together. So one of the first things that we're going to do in January, and I'm going to lead the effort in that in this new role, is I'm going to teach a class, and I want to tell all of you all about it and invite you all to join me for four Wednesdays in January, starting January 13th at lunchtime, and we're going to do this virtually. We're going to go through this book called Stronger Together, Weaker Apart, and it's by Dr. Tony Evans. And I love this study, and I really want to invite everyone to join me, because it starts with prayer. Really, this book really starts us off with prayer, and I think that's where this conversation will start for us. And also, the book goes through the armor of God, and we know that we're doing scripture studies. Matt's leading us through that, and the reason we do that, the reason we're starting our day off with scripture and with prayer, is because we're equipping ourselves by putting on the armor of God so that we're able to be the Christians that God has called us to be out in the world. And so that's kind of, it goes right along with what we're doing with the church. And so, like I said, I'm going to do this creatively. So I'm going to be me in this new role. So we're going to creatively bring this book to life in a way that's really going to be impactful for all of us.
Carla, we love you. I mean, this community loves you. Yeah.
Thank you. And I love you.
For 14 years off and on, I mean, I've seen you lead, and I'm excited about seeing you lead in this new way. So I was kind of doing some math in my head. I think this has to be the case. I said this to you, and you were like, I don't know if it is. I think this has to be the case. I think you have to be the person who has been present on this platform leading more than any other person. I mean, when you consider that, you know, Paul stepped out at 9:30 a few years ago, I think you have probably more than any other person in Cornerstone's history been on this platform leading, and you've done it with just spiritual depth and passion and a million other things, and I'm so grateful for you. And one of the things I'm thinking about as we move forward in Cornerstone is that the leadership that we have now is we're standing on the shoulders of giants, right? I mean, that's we're standing on the shoulders of giants. I'm standing on the shoulders of Paul. And one thing I'm excited to tell you about today is that Aaron Long, who was leading this morning, he's going to be stepping in to Carla's role, and he'll be taking the lead with the band. So excited about that. He's standing on the shoulders of you, a giant who has led the way here faithfully for so long. I'm so grateful. So
thank you.
Carla, there's no better way to celebrate you, knowing you, than to pray for you. Right?
That is true.
That's true. So, hey, let's pray for Carla together. Let's pray. God, I speak for all of us that are in this room and that are a part of this online when I say that we are so grateful for our sister Carla. Lord, we give you thanks for the way that she has led from the platform and the way that she has led so many of us in one-on-one conversations, for the way that she has turned herself over to you and allowed you to work through her. We are so grateful for her. And we're so grateful for this new role. And as she steps into it, Lord, we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will lead her and guide her there just as you have led her and guided her here. We pray that you will continue to bless her and to bless the ministry that you are doing through her, to give her wisdom, discernment, and understanding. Lord, to give her strength, to give her courage, Lord, to lead her so that she might be able to lead others faithfully. God, we're grateful. We're grateful for what you're doing at Cornerstone. We're grateful for what you're doing in our church as a whole. We're grateful for what you're doing in Carla's life. We love you, and we thank you for your love for us, and we pray that you just continue to bless our sister Carla, as you have and as you're going to continue to do. We know that. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, will you give it up for Carla one more time? And lots more clapping online, Carla. And I'm sure they're standing up off of their couches in their bathrobes to clap for you also, Carla. We're grateful for you. Okay, Cornerstone, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a couple of lists this morning, okay? Do you like lists? Who are list people? Put your hand up if you're a list person, okay? If you're not, I don't care. You're doing it too, okay? Here, we're going to make a couple of lists this morning. So if you're in the room, we used to have pens and paper for you. We don't anymore, 2020. So those of you that are online, grab a pen, grab a piece of paper. If you're here, if you've got one, that's great. If not, maybe you can grab your phones. You'll be able to remember, though. A little pro tip, field notes in your back pocket, space pen in your front pocket, and you've always got a piece of paper and a pen here. So we're going to make two lists. We're going to make one list, and what you can do is you can just take a blank piece of paper and just draw a line down the middle, okay? We're going to make one list of things that we can control, okay? And look, not everything that you can control, that would be an exhaustive list. But maybe you're thinking about one specific situation that you're nervous about going into 2021. Maybe it's 2021 in general. You're going to make a list of these are the things that I can control, okay? And then you're going to make a list. These are the things that I can't control, right? Okay, simple list, okay? We're going to come back to this kind of list pretty frequently in Cornerstone, probably. I think this is just like a basic core practice. It's really helpful to us, okay? So you got a list of the things that you can control and a list of the things that you can't control. Then we're going to do something else with this list in just a second. But when you're thinking about 2020, what are some of the things that you can't control, okay? You can't control the pandemic, okay? I mean, you can play a part in it. We'll talk about that in a second. You can't control the pandemic, okay? You're not Dr. Fauci, right? You get a little marginal role to play in this. You can't control how this is going to. So spending a lot of time worrying about it, all of that stuff, you know, put in that list. It's something that you can't control. You can't control the economy, okay? You can't control the economy, right? If you're anything like me, and most of you aren't in this way, yeah, I grew up in Georgia. I'm a big Georgia sports fan, okay? I can't control the fact that Georgia sports teams can't win championships in anything. The only thing that we win championships in are Georgia, like, state championships. That's the only thing Georgia teams win championships in, right? I want the Falcons. I want the Braves. I have no control over that, okay? And then over here, you got stuff that you can control, right? I mean, when it comes to the pandemic, you can control, like, keeping yourself and your family safe and all of those things. You can control making sure that you're not just isolated in your house, but you're really reaching out to other people, at least via phone and FaceTime. You can control all those things. That ends up on this list. When it comes to your finances, again, you can't control the economy. You can't control everything that relates to your finances, but you can control what percentage you're trying to save, that you're trying to give, all of those things. There are things that you can control, all right? So stepping into 2021, let's be really, really clear about what we can control and what we can't control. And then here's a little twist on this, okay? It's a little twist on this. The things that you can control, this becomes your to-do list, okay? So right at the top of that column, you're going to write to-do, okay? This becomes your to-do list. And the things that you cannot control, this becomes your prayer list, okay? And at the top of that, this is what you're going to write. You're going to write prayer list here. And this is so simple. And again, we'll come back to this again because it's so simple, but I find it to be so helpful. And here's why. This is why this is helpful to me. I can't tell you how frequently I am working hard and trying to do things that really just need to be on my prayer list. I mean, just spinning my wheels, trying to change other people or worried about things that I have no control over when really those things need to just be on my prayer list. I'm trying to do things that are on my prayer list. And conversely, what am I doing? I'm praying about things that are that should be on my to-do list. I'm praying that God will fix things that really I just need to do something about. Kicking off 2021, I think that this is an exercise that can be helpful to all of us. Get your to-do list straight and get your prayer list straight. And what I want to add is I want to add something to your to-do list. I don't know what your resolutions are. Maybe you got goals, targets. I don't know what you call it. Maybe you're one of these word people. You pick one word for the year. I don't know what it is. Or maybe you're just saying, look, this year, I'm not even making any of those things. I don't know. I don't know where you are with all of that. But I want to get one more thing on that to-do list side. And this is it. It's really, really pretty simple, okay? One more thing on your to-do list side, and that's this. I hope that you will add to your list of resolutions for this year, deepening your spiritual well-being. Okay? Deepening your spiritual well-being. Now, I just said spiritual well-being, which means I lost a lot of you, okay? I lost a lot of you. Like, you've already canceled me just for even saying that, okay? But, like, spiritual well-being. What do I mean by that? Okay, I want you to picture a tire, okay? Like a bike tire, okay? You got all the spokes coming off the side, and then in the middle, like where all the spokes come together, okay? This is what we used to do. Again, generations before us. They would look and they would say, think about the individual spokes. I have all kinds of goals in my life, okay? Like I have financial goals, that's a spoke. I have physical goals, that's a spoke. I have relationship goals, that's a spoke. I've got all of these different goals, these different spokes, and what generations before us recognized is that that hub in the middle, where all those spokes come together, that hub in the middle, that's my spiritual life. And it's not its own like little individual separate category, but it is actually the thing around which everything else holds together. And today, I mean, at our best, what we do is that we add in also a spiritual goal. So we have physical, financial, relationships, and spiritual goals. Or what, of course, most of us have done, many of us have done, we just, like, it's not even a spoke, okay? But what people used to understand and what we do well to understand today is that our spiritual life is not just one more spoke. It's not just one more goal to add in. It's actually the core that holds everything else together. What's your spiritual life, your spiritual well-being? I mean, it's like your inner state, right? I mean, it's how you're doing deep down in your bones. It's how you are, who you are, deep down in your core. And if you get that right, well, it affects everything else. I'll just tell you, when you're looking at the teachings that Jesus gave 2,000 years ago, particularly if you're looking at Matthew 5 through 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount, you look at it and you just can't get out of these teachings without thinking that this guy was brilliant. You just can't get out of it without thinking there's something special going on with this guy. I mean, just look at this. And these are the three verses. 6, beginning in 32. The Gentiles, so this is all like non-Jewish people at the time, okay? The Gentiles seek after all of these things. This is after he's talking about worrying. So all of the things that everybody seeks after. Look, like they're those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay, so all of those spokes, the financial stuff, the relationship stuff, the physical, all of those things, of course you're thinking about those things. And that's good. Everybody is thinking about those things. But here's the key for us. This is Jesus talking to a group of people. Here's the key for us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See that? Seek first the hub. Seek first that spiritual well-being, that spiritual life. And all of the other stuff will be added to you, meaning it'll kind of take care of itself. Now, does that mean it's all going to go exactly as you want it to? Of course it doesn't mean that. But it means that if you've got the hub right, you can lose a spoke or two along the way and you'll be okay. You take the hub out, and the whole project's falling apart. Look, look, look. Focus on that. And of course, what we see is that when you focus on that, what happens? Well, when you focus on that, that actually strengthens all of these other things. I mean, again, your spiritual life and your physical goals are not, they're not separate things. One of the things that Paul, one of the first pastors, observes is he says, look, one of the fruits of this robust spiritual life is self-control. Well, if you've got this right and your self-control is increasing, how is that not going to affect your physical goals and your financial goals and your relationship goals? I mean, if you've got your spiritual life set, it gives you strength to go after those, and it also defines for you what those goals in a healthy way looks like. It helps you to know what kind of relationships to be pursuing and what kind of relationships to step out of. It helps you to know what those relationships should look like. It gives you the self-control that you need to go after those habits in your physical life that maybe you haven't gone after before. It defines for you what your fiscal health should look like as far as how you should be giving and all of those things. If you get this right, seek this first, then you're able to do these other things also. If you just go after these things and leave this out, the whole thing falls apart. Your spiritual life is not just one component of your life. It's the heart of your life. It's the core of your life. It's the thing around which everything else centers. And then this last little verse. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Don't be worried about everything that's going to happen this year. Don't be worried about day 172 of 2021. Today, let's just be focused on day 3 of 2021. Focus on today and deepening our spiritual life, deepening that spiritual well-being, focusing on that today, and trusting that I'll have the strength to deal with day 4 of 2021 tomorrow. I mean, how brilliant is this? How wise is it? How obvious is it? But yet, how easy is it for us to miss? We take this spiritual stuff and we think it's one little component of our life, or we think that it's really not all that important, when the reality is, and most of us know this, that it is actually central to everything else. So that's what I hope that you're going to add to your to-do list. I hope that you're going to add deepening your spiritual well-being to your to-do list this year. Now let's talk a little bit about how we can help, okay? How we as the staff of the church, as Cornerstone, how we can help. I'm going to tell you about 3 things that are on our to-do list, okay? 3 things that are on the to-do list for Cornerstone this year that is directly inspired by and tied to this charge for you to deepen your spiritual well-being, okay? Here are 3 things that we're going to do this year in Cornerstone. Here's 1, and this is for all of us, but geared towards those of you online. Next week, January 10th, we're launching something new. We're launching what we're calling Cornerstone at Home, okay? And Cornerstone at Home is going to be the way in which, moving forward, we help people to worship at home. So for those of you that are at home because you feel safer there and you feel like it's the right decision right now, for those of you that are here in this room for the Sundays that you're not here, this is going to be the way that we are going to help you to deepen your walk with God from the worship perspective on Sundays. So Cornerstone at Home. What's Cornerstone at Home going to be? Well, no longer are we just going to be sending out into the internet a video of what we're doing in this room, okay? Moving forward, what we're going to do is we're going to gather in here on Thursdays with nobody else in here, and the band is going to record music specifically thinking about those of you that are at home, and I'm going to preach a message, same way, looking directly at camera 3, preaching to those of you that that are at home. So the whole thing will be with those of you that are at home in mind. One of the other key factors of this is that what you will be getting at home will be shorter, okay? Why will it be shorter? Well, we looked at how long people were viewing the service online, and our average service is like 50 to 60 minutes or so. People are viewing it for 33 minutes, okay? So we're giving you what you want, okay? That's what we're gonna do. So we're gonna have about a 30-minute service that we're going to be giving you online each week. And what it's going to do is it's going to go live at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and then you can stream it whenever you want to throughout Sunday or throughout the day. We hope that this is going to be something that will spiritually nourish and enrich you. We also hope this is going to be something that you share. And this is important for all of you that are here and those of you that are online. We hope that this 30-minute service is something that will be more shareable than what we're currently doing. In fact, we hope that for some people, they may go to another church, but they'll use this 30 minutes as like a bonus church, right? I mean, maybe they'll be excited about what we're going through with this little orange book that we're going to talk about in a second. And you can share that with them. So Cornerstone at Home, that starts next week. And we believe that this is going to help to enrich the spiritual depth and life of our Cornerstone community. So that's number one. Number two, let's talk about Cornerstone at HPUMC. Okay, let's talk about those of us that are in this room. And for those of you that are online that will be in this room. So we have this one kind of picture that we're trying to change with Cornerstone in person. The thing that haunts me, I mean, it's one of the things that keeps me up at night, is that we don't want Cornerstone to feel like a movie theater, okay? And I'm afraid that it's easy for it to feel that way, especially during these times, where you walk in with the people that you know, you watch something or participate in something for a little bit, and then you walk out. We don't want it to be that. That's not what the church is. The church isn't something that you just come and watch, but it's more challenging to do that during these times because, you know, we're like encouraging you to leave right afterwards. And we're not hanging around and we're not giving you coffee beforehand and all of those things. So we're working really hard to figure out, right, how can we make Cornerstone in person more personable? Make it not just feel like it's a movie theater. There are a few things that we're going to be doing with that. One of the things is that we would love for more of you to serve as greeters, to just greet people upstairs or downstairs as they're coming in to have some brief conversations. That's one thing. But another thing that we're going to do, and this is a pretty big change, is that beginning next week, we're going to give ourselves the option, whenever the weather is nice, to move the 11 o'clock service outside. Now, there may be times we move 9 o'clock outside too. By and large, 9 o'clock will still be inside. But we're going to move the 11 o'clock service outside as much as we can. Don't worry, if it's 45 degrees, we're not moving it outside, okay? But if it's going to be pretty nice, like it was on Christmas Eve, a lot of you hear of that, we're going to move outside. Why? Two reasons. One, there can be more interaction outside. I just feel it. You just feel it if you've been to one of these outdoor services. You just feel it. There's that. And also because there are a lot of people, for a variety of reasons, that don't feel comfortable coming into the building. Okay, some of that's health concerns, some of that is child concerns, right? I mean, like, my kids are here this morning. I think they're back in the dark. I can't see them. I can't hear them, which makes me think maybe they left, right? But you know, it can be challenging. There they are. It can be challenging. I mean, and Amy's flying solo back there, you know, with our 3 and our 5-year-old, our 9-year-old boy's fine, but the 3 and our 5-year-old, they can get wild. But it's a whole lot easier for Amy to be able to bring the kids outside. So we're doing this for Amy. That's what we're doing. Okay. So, yeah, but we're going to move outside to hopefully create more of that community feel. So that's Cornerstone at Home. That's what we'll be doing with Cornerstone here. And we need your help with that to make this not feel like a movie theater. When you walk in, think, I am a part of this church. I'm a part of making sure that this doesn't just feel like something I come and watch. Okay. And then here's number three. We're going to keep our foot on the gas with these reading plans that we've been doing. We've seen a lot of people experience some great stuff through these Bible reading plans that we've been doing over the last year and a half or so. I mean, I'm talking about people reading the Bible for the first time in their lives, and really, I mean, they're saying this, coming to life in a new way. I'm talking about husbands and wives doing this together, and their marriage beginning to reconcile through these studies. I'm talking about, like, mothers and daughters who have contentious relationships, real life stories, who do these studies together, and it begins to change their relationship. We're going to keep our foot on the gas with this. And we're also going to do the Bible reading plans. And between the Bible reading plans, we're going to read some books together. So you saw the video earlier And many of you got this book when you came in or you got it on Christmas Eve. But we've got a whole stack of these books that are right out that door as you're walking out. I hope that you'll get one of these. And those of you that are online, you can order them anywhere, but we're also going to have them underneath the covered entrance in boxes all this week. You can come grab one whenever you want to. It's a book by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. This is what inspired this book for him. I'd heard this story before, and it inspired me also. There's this guy named Dallas Willard who's just a spiritual giant. I mean, he died a couple of years ago, and just an unbelievable spiritual giant. I think he's probably influenced my personal spirituality and my theology more than anybody that I haven't met in person, okay? Dallas Willard, he's an incredible guy. He was mentoring a guy at one point named John Ortberg. And John Ortberg asked Willard one time, he said, you'll read this in the book. He said, what do I need to do to deepen my spiritual faith, like my spiritual life? He said, Willard sat there for a minute, was quiet, and then said, ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. So Ortberg jotted it down. He said, okay, and what's next? And Willard sat for a second, and he said, that's it. And what Willard recognized is that the greatest threat to our spiritual life today is our harried pace of life. I mean, did you know that before Edison invented the light bulb, the average American slept, wait for this, it's more than you think, 11 hours a day. 11 hours a day. Did you know that if you go back to the 1970s, the average American was working 4 weeks less than the average American today? I mean, what John Mark Comer recognizes, what Willard recognized before him, what you recognize, and even if you never put words to it, is that we are not actually wired to go as fast as we're going. Our bodies aren't actually built for this. And we're definitely not built to constantly be connected to the entire world through a computer in our pocket. This isn't a spiritual statement. This is a physiological statement. We are not actually wired as human beings to go as fast as we are going or to worry about as much as we worry about. We're not wired this way. And if we try to go after this for too long, we begin to break down. So what this book does is it walks us through kind of a deeper understanding of that. And then in a really, really brilliant way, Comer talks us through four practices that Jesus had that if we incorporate them into our lives, it helps us to grow deeper in our relationship with him and to come more fully alive as human beings. What I love about it is intensely practical, intensely practical. So over the next 4 weeks, here and in Cornerstone at home, we're going to be talking through each of those four practices. So I hope that you'll read this at your own pace. We're not covering certain chapters each week. Read it at your own pace. And then what we're going to be doing is that. And then what I'll also be doing during the week is posting some thoughts to my personal social media account, that things that may not make it into the sermon that I still think are helpful. So I hope that you'll get this. Okay. And then in February, what we're going to do is we're going to read through the book of Exodus together in February and March. So we're going to jump back into the Bible, and I'll start back these daily Bible studies also during that time. So those are three things that we're doing that we think will help you to grow in your personal spiritual life. Cornerstone at home, Cornerstone here with more of a focus on community, and then these reading plans. And here's what I hope. Here's what I hope. And frankly, here's what I'm going to ask, okay, as your pastor. Here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that you engage in these things, worship, either in person or at home, these reading plans and the studies that go along with them, and then I'll add a third one that's serving in some way, okay? We can find you a way to serve, okay? That you engage in worship, in this study, and that you engage in some kind of serving, okay? I'm going to ask that you do those things and that you invite some people to do these things with you. And that's important any year, but it's really important this year. Do you know that Lifeway, one of these huge Christian bookstores, they're reporting that their sales of Bibles have gone way up this year? I mean, studies are showing us that people are interested in this faith thing for the first time, many of them. This is the time, okay? So that's what I'm gonna ask as your pastor, that one, you engage in those ways, and two, that you invite some other people. Be bold. People aren't gonna not like you because you invite them to participate in a study. I mean, hey, be bold. Invite some people. Grab an orange book for somebody else. Be bold and invite some people to be a part of this with you. Here's one of the things that I love, and I'm going to wrap up with this. The first story that we have about Jesus in the Gospel of John is different from what most of us think. He doesn't come preaching. He doesn't come telling people what they need to do or anything like that. He sees two people walking behind him who have begun to figure out who he is through John the Baptist. And he turns around and he looks at them. And do you know what the first thing Jesus says in the Gospel of John is? It's a question. He says, what are you looking for? It's the first thing he does. Like in your life, what are you looking for? And they don't really know what to say. So they just say, where are you staying? It's like they don't know what they're looking for, but they know that following after Jesus to wherever he's staying is worth doing, okay? And then he says something else to them. He looks at them and he says, come and see. I love that. That's the way Jesus starts. What are you looking for? Like, what is your heart's desire? What are you looking for? Of course, he would have known the Psalms that say, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire of your heart. What is your heart's desire? And just come with me and come. Just come and see. Just come and see what God is going to do. That's what I'm going to say to you this year. That hub, that spiritual well-being, put that front and center. Seek after that through worship and through serving and through these studies. Make that first. And then just come and see. Come and see what God is going to do in 2021 in your life and in our community. And will you invite somebody else to come and see with you? Because what may happen in 2021 may not just be that God does something great in your life, but the biggest blessing in 2021 might be that you get to see God do something great in somebody else's life. Maybe even through you. Friends, I cannot wait to get fully in to 2021. And I'm glad that we here in person and we online are going to be going after this together. So I'm going to pray for us, and then that'll be it for this morning. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for you, for your work, and for the way that you are inviting us to just come and see more and more of you, to come and see more and more of who you are, to come and see more and more of who you are calling us to be. Lord, you are good, and we're just grateful. So Lord, whether we've been chasing after you for a long time or whether this is something completely new, Lord, we know that you're going to meet us just exactly where we are, in worship and through service and through study. We're just opening ourselves up to you and saying, Lord, we just this year, we just want to come and see. Once again, Lord, we thank you for Carla, and we thank you for Paul, and for all of those that have laid this incredible foundation, a solid foundation that is Cornerstone. And we pray for all of us in this room going forward, Lord, that you will use all of us, not just the staff, but all of us, Lord, to build something pretty awesome on that foundation. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.